Well, I'm working on two writing projects. It's that old house. It's a 15 degrees. I honk my horn and start my windshield wipers. Okay. Got two running projects that I've been working on. Big one for a long time has been the Big Year. There's already two books from the Big Year. I call it the Allegory. And nothing's getting picked up because it's not close to my face. Gosh darn it. Okay, pardon me. I take great solace in the fact that I was actually reading about Douglas Adams this not too long ago, a few days ago, and that he was really quite bad at, I don't have my belt. That's normal. God. And that he always said, oh, you know, there's, he talked about deadlines and the fact that he always broke a deadline. And that was just kind of his thing. pardon me. I've read about other people who had serious problems, but were still writers and able to write, and well, they didn't make tons of money, they made something, I suppose. And at this point in my life, it's just like, well, I'm just trying to supplement my income that I get already from all the work that I've done in the past, you know. But if something better may come of it, I don't know. Anyway, so I haven't, I've just been doing a bunch of sketch planning to add some chapters to various things. I've been working on '969, which is about evil. Doing an insurance scam in Kuala Lumpur that is based on, it's kind of by a very uninspired bad guy who wants to make some money. He actually took the 9/11 situation and turned it into and tried to do the same thing basically someplace else with the terrorist group. This time it's a Buddhist, which is really hilarious from my standpoint. It's pretty dark humor, but that's it works for me. Horrible things happen. This is all wrapped around a character called Lucretia. And her adventures, eventually the sole survivor of a plane crash, and ends up in Pitcairn Island, basically torturing child sex molesters over there but doing it in such a bizarre way that she kind of cures the island's problem, which is that the guys usually take sexual favors on teenage girls, and it's an acceptable social thing. And when she gets there, it just kind of falls apart because you have to understand, all men are at first attracted to her until she actually gives them private time. Nobody knows what she does, and nobody knows how it goes, but they inexplicably do really large favors for her, long term too, until she finally just wanders off, and then they don't have to do anything for her anymore, which ends up being this great relief to them, which needs to be woven into the story eventually, that once she leaves someplace, the guys who are kind of under her, it's kind of a bizarre spell almost. But we don't know that, except that, you know, usually out of the whole situation of having encountered her, it ultimately makes their lives significantly better. And just from the standpoint that, you know, there was some quasi-sexual need to be with her, and then after you're done dealing with her, it almost takes away any sexual urges you may have had outside of just, you know, decent ones. And then at some point, almost everything around her is just circumstantial. Then all of a sudden you are kind of freed from her because she's just not around. But you really don't want to engage in anything approaching illicit sex ever again. And she is like this force of nature. And I don't know if it's God or if it's something else that kind of moves her about to affect her amazingness on other people. You know, I have no idea. Women can't stand her. Men have this bizarre relationship with her. But they can't fail but to keep her fed or clothed or employed or whatever else. Even though, you know, she only comes to work when she good and well seems to feel like it, but you don't get a sense for that being having any rhyme or reason. Just kind of bizarre. It kind of reminds me of the character that I had dreamed up once upon a time, but then said, I don't know how to do him. He's a bit of a time traveler. He isn't like the umlaut girl, I forget her name, but who was violated. And you go, well, is that sexual? And you go, no. This is, they have found out that if they take your spleen and they process it in some way and then kind of paint your body with it, all of a sudden, you have this capability to move through time. And it was actually done under the auspice of some strange religious order back in the day. And I mean, you know, like in medieval times. And, that's where this thing all came up. And that the ability to do this, or the understanding of how it was done, was lost. Because what happened was, once they discovered it could be done, certain members of the order started doing, you know, it's a horrible power. And they were doing it for all kinds of nefarious purposes after a while, so much for having kind of a moral underpinning to the whole thing. And, the guy who had eventually came up with it, got to figure out why exactly he recruited young girls, you know, preteen girls, and did the process to them and trained them up to be assassins. And their job was to take out the guys who knew how to do this and who were using it for nefarious purposes. Great thing was that they were somewhat selfish, so that they didn't share how to do this with anybody else. I don't know why exactly, you know, I have to remember, try to remember why. I think I recorded it long, long ago, because these were things from like 5 or 6 years ago. And turning them into girls that just had this, that were trained how to use an instrument that would destroy the effect. It was almost like popping a balloon. And once that balloon was popped, you couldn't travel anymore. So they weren't particularly assassins, but they were certainly people that were supposed to stop evil from happening. And one girl was assigned to every guy, and they were to go out and do this. And then, you know, I guess it's because they kind of considered women not to be anything terribly important, and they certainly didn't share with them how they did something. You know, it was mostly, you know, because the act of actually taking out your spleen and doing something with it and put it back, you had to have some training on how to live your life without a spleen. It's doable. Will it kill you? This is, oh, you just have to act very carefully, because you're very susceptible to several problems, at least to a handful of problems. And, you know, you can get sick with some strange maladies and then die from that sickness. And so there was a training to know how to take care of oneself. You know, you were sent out with various tinctures, powders, that were supposed to help you deal with the fact that your spleen had been taken and used to create this time traveling thing. Now, most of them, pretty shortly after they accomplished their goal, it was kind of, you know, and it kind of takes care of your ability to do anything about it besides just do a few time traveling things, because you wouldn't last very long. But this one girl was very, very good about doing stuff, and she acquired sufficient knowledge to keep herself going for quite some time. she was, you know, and she was traveling around, and we catch up with her living in living in Shetland, an old croft house, you know, three quarters abandoned, away from everybody else, and everybody thought she was a witch, and that was kind of. That was kind of borne out by the fact that she was, you know, she really kept to herself. She stayed away from people as much as she could. But that she was also doing something. And we catch her in the middle of doing some things. She's still actually hunting time travelers. Now, one of these guys had gotten rather old, but he had never been... He had never had his balloon pop. And so he's still moving from place to place, and she's kind of doing detective work, hunting down what he's doing. It says, and that, boy, that was going to be a really compelling story, but hadn't gotten there yet. Just hadn't gotten there yet. And but very, very old. And as a part of kind of putting this whole worldview scenario together, we had this other guy who had simply learned how to time travel. It wasn't something that he had done. It was no process. It was nothing else. It kind of speaks to like mind over matter sort of situations. Wow, there's a really interesting cloud here this morning. You have to find joy and beauty where you can find it in my world. Anyway. So that's kind of my Terry Pratchett Discworld thing is the whole kind of weird universe around this woman. She isn't terribly old yet, you know. You know, she's been doing this for 20 years. That would make her, what, 28 or 29? But the guy that had taken it was old. He was in his 50s, you know. And, he was tempted. He was tempted away from the order. And as each book progresses, you just learn a little bit about this thing from the past. She used to go back to the past to get new instructions or stuff like that early on. But then she found out that this whole order had kind of gone dark. And one of her big things was to make sure that the knowledge of how to do this was destroyed. And that's kind of what she's hunting down, is she has this multi-part purpose. One point is to destroy all record of this. And all evidence that it ever happened, why she always hides and goes someplace far away from people, is so that she doesn't, so she doesn't catch much attention. Because catching attention means that somebody might find her and catch her and might extract from her knowledge that she's trying to eliminate. It's not only popping balloons, but that's a big part of it. It's also trying to somehow get rid of get rid of people who have the knowledge to do this, or who have figured out that this can be done, because once you figure out that it has been done, you can work to figure out how to do it, and she's got to stop that as well. All knowledge of this ability is a thing. And of course, you can kind of bring the whole reader into it by saying, now you understand that this can be done. And that means people are now going to be coming for you for a couple of reasons. Either to learn what you know so that they can do it themselves for nefarious purposes, or to do something else. Then there's this guy who just knows how to time travel. And like I said, it's kind of a mind over matter thing. He's got this incredible mind. And so really it's only him that knows how to do this because he's so brilliant, but he's evil. This is the biggest problem with being really smart is your tendency to go to evil. You know, to take advantage of what you know in terrible ways. So those are some of the stories I'm working on. I don't know if I'm gonna weave that guy into the same stories as the Umlaut girl. I forget her name. It's something kind of bizarre. The whole question is she from Shetland? Or does she just go there because it is way off the beaten path and it keeps people, you know, it was just something that she had known. She can't move through space. She can only go through time. And that makes it so that, you know, she has to have some place that's been around for a very long time that has changed particularly to survive for a long, long time. So she kind of hides in this forgotten brook and lives there. But most of it's now buried, and that's important because you don't want to, you know, they have this bad habit of turning brooks into tourist attractions. And so she has to do a little bit of work to keep it hidden, which usually has to do with going back in time a while. And where something is appearing, she does something to try and hide it. So she's got all this interesting knowledge and all these weird, bizarre skills. It really has no relevance to life. Food's a tricky matter. She can time travel. She can move short distances of time, you know, very easily because things don't change that quickly usually. Although she's been caught in some bad situations. She can usually go someplace pleasant, someplace off the beaten path, plant a seed, and then jump forward almost, and then eat that seed. So food isn't one of her bigger problems, except that she has to travel quite a bit, because places that can grow food well, they change a lot. They get plowed under, things get discovered. Things of great difficulty. So sometimes she only goes back to her broth when she has a desire or a need to travel great distances in time. I guess that's why over time, that's one of the reasons over time that she stopped going back, because she became a target ultimately, because she had to be destroyed too. And she wasn't being destroyed, so there was this stream of young girls that would be sent with the whole purpose of popping her balloon. To some level, I think she might harbor a secret wish to have her balloon popped, because it seems like you really can't pop your own balloon. Somebody else has to pop your balloon. Or you have to die. Dying just takes care of the whole problem. And because they paint your body with your processed spleen, it gives you this weird kind of sheen. So your skin doesn't look normal. You know, number one, you don't look healthy in the first place. And number two, you've got this weird, I don't even know what to call it. It's not really a color. It's just kind of a strange aspect to you. And yeah, you just get this weird pallor. And, pardon me. Yeah. And there's this time-traveling guy who is really quite, he has a different take on morals than other people do. You know, it comes from him having this amazing mind, but it's weird. He's a strange person. And I think she at least runs into him once or twice. One of the reasons why she ends up hiding in Shetland is also that the order isn't able to track her. Oh yeah, you can't track her anyway. You know, the only way you can get beads on her is when she comes back to your time and place. And of course, she has to actually travel to the place. She can't just will herself to go somewhere. And so the first question is, how on earth did they find her? And what they figured out was they really hadn't found her. They had other reasons for secreting documents at this old Brock in Shepherd. The only problem was something had happened and it had rendered the locking mechanism had been ruined over time. And so she had to take a girl, and the whole thing is if you're holding on to somebody when you make whatever time leap this is, they actually go with you. But it's not a good thing. It really causes problems like sickness, illness, not even being able to function very well if you do this. So she was caught in a position where she had to do this. And a little girl was available. She took the little girl. The reason why the little girl was available is because she could text on one of those feature phones without looking at it. This was a skill that kids of a certain time were able to do. And of course she grabbed one of them and she said, you know, she needed her to go in and flip this latch, which only a little girl could do. And this had been done and it had been put in, you know, it had been put off to the side and done this way. But it didn't happen in Shetland particularly. It happened someplace else. Some other place, and this guy was going to catch that information and some other thing. I think he was going to get paid a lot of money by somebody who he was going to sell the secret to. Or he was going to do the process. So he wasn't going to tell them how to do it, but he was going to make them a time traveler. He was selling this ability. And she could change the fact that she had aged. And then now, her hand was simply too big to operate this machinery. The guy knew it, so that's why he had constructed the way he did. So only somebody with a small hand could do it. And she was put in the position of having to get a really young person. It was going to have to be a girl. And get her to open this thing in an unspecified time. But she had to do it before, you know, this thing was able to change hands. I don't know how she figured out that this was happening. But she had been tracking this guy who still had the ability, and had gone rogue. He was being hunted by the decent church, who said that all these people had to be destroyed. And this was an interesting order that survived a long time. You know, one of these secret orders that, you know, they're supposed to do one thing. It's great service for God. It's really amazing type stuff. And so they would hunt him wherever he went. And the problem was that, you know, he was trying to figure out ways to everybody learns how to keep themselves fed under these circumstances. But he was terribly old. And running down. You have to understand, evil doesn't want to die. So, in the midst of all this stuff, he was the actual person who figured out how to do it. So everybody was after him. Hello? Are you turning too? All right. Thank you. Claude. Anyway, yeah, it's rare that I run into anybody on a road head the same way I am, because it's just not done. She was coming from Melrose. Well, chances are she's going to Claude or something, someplace further on. So she's not going to go in my way very long. Anyway. So, and it's a very, you know, I'm hoping that it becomes this kind of intricate story that kind of sucks you in and you keep wanting to discover who this person is, because ultimately what happens is there's this family on a sailing holiday. They come up on shore to this ruined place, and all of a sudden there's this woman there that snatches one of their kids just for a little bit and takes them back in time to before this thing was really ruined, opens it up, destroys these records. They've got to make it though, so you know, and you really don't bother explaining a lot of it. First, you're following the family that's taking this vacation. That's kind of how you get into. That's how you're introduced to this person. And then all of a sudden, you know, instead of really following the family, you're following this woman who's doing these inexplicable things, and you don't understand why. And then all of a sudden, you're someplace else. She's a bizarre person. You know, she's been to so many different times and places. Not ever integrating particularly, because that's dangerous. But picking up, just kind of developing extremely weird accent, and you know, being half sickly. Oh no, this person is going to field. Great. Whatever. Okay. It's really weird the thing is roundabout way to get here. I'm hoping it's just somebody who's just kind of coming here locally. Because there's no sense coming here from the south like they had. Unless you're not going very far. Oh, they're not slowing down particularly. Yeah. So there's all these stories I'm working on. I'm not working on this one particularly, but it's one of my most interesting ones that I'm going to try and keep for a little while I finish up some of the others. Of course, I've always got Navigiri prophecy, which is interesting. It is the dark middle book. The ending's already finished. It's already published. You know, I self-published. And, anyway, so, now I'm thinking about how to try to publicize this. There's people who read for money. Kind of like agents, but not, maybe. I don't know. Anyway. This might be a way to get a little publicity for the books that are already out there. I've got several. And I'm just going to add some more. Did I not bring my... God bless it. I'm always missing stuff. My belt, and I filled up my water jug, and I didn't bring it. This is so typical of me. I end up having to go into town and buying another one, but that's okay. I usually need to. I don't even think I have a spare bottle of water. I used to keep bottles of water with me. I don't feel any. I don't think so. Nope. Ooh. Got one of those nice Walmart bags. Don't want to lose those. So anyway, okay. Oh, I don't have any water. I could stop by the Alsips, but that's too expensive. Damn. Buy a jug of water. Anyway, so, yeah. Prophecy doesn't seem to be coming together very well, so maybe it's time to do 696, which is almost a mishmash of interlocking stories. But I don't know how to, this person is taking the same road I am. And we stop doing that. I'm going to stay on this road and go down to wherever it is I'm going. The road less traveled. That one's traveled too much these days. now finding somebody who's using the same road. It's like, made it a little less intriguing. Anyway. So, regardless, Paul goes along with the whole thing of being an Aaronite priest, which is a bizarre off thing. And you go, well, what are you supposed to be doing? And you go, oh, now I'm thinking a lot of umlaut thoughts on how to make this kind of happen. Huh. Regardless, happy to be alive. I'll be glad to get out of the season when the sun is in my eyes. I wish I had my water. We'll find some. What is the back road? From field down to, I'm not sure what's down here. I don't know. Saint Vrain, maybe? I don't know what inspired people to pave these roads. Probably the ultimate power of ranchers in government to not have to trundle down dirt roads forever. You always kind of picture somebody, some rich, influential guy who buys some land out here and says, yeah, this is your... You're gonna give me what I need because I say so. It's like, okay, well, fine, there he is. Okay. Could make a lot of money, could make zero. You know, so far my writing has made nothing. I don't even think it's made altogether $10. Of course, I don't advertise. When people talk about word-of-mouth advertising, I think it's hilarious because it's got to be discovered first. You got to discover first by somebody who really talks a lot. And I figured out at least celestial nature, which is if you don't give something a value, it has no value. You have to tell people how much it's going to cost. The more money you charge, apparently the more worth it has. So you don't want to be cheap. Look for a funny animal. Poor people get books in the secondhand market. You don't have to mark them down to make them popular. Not necessary. Oh, so yeah. See what other books cost, and you charge that. $25. Knowing that if you sell a million, that's amazing. You either sell 10 or you sell a million. There's really no in between there. So I've learned just from observation. Let the discounters do their discounting. Nothing to do with you. The price goes up, you drive sales because people will say, whoa, the price went up here. And you go, I want to buy it before it goes up again. And I think that's kind of how you do things. So I really need to jack up the prices on all my books. to establish their value. If you sell them for 99 cents, they're not worth anything. Nobody will do it. But he really wants to pass me. Get a letter. They're saying brain. Anyway, so...